Yes, welcome back. It's 19 minutes past 11 here on Radio Islam International. The Ar-Rihla team is at Al Falah College. We move on to the final stage. It's now getting to the meaty part of it. The grade 10s and 11s have joined us here. And it's now the debate contest, an age-old argument. Should university fees or should university education be free in South Africa? An age-old argument, Maulana Habib.
Yeah. I hope it's free as my tongue grows up.
instead of hoping that it's free, rather hope that Radio Islam gives you a huge increase.
Sure.
Huge.
If the increase should help me, I'm going to please. Yes, mashallah, coming to you live this morning from Al Falah College, a wonderful atmosphere here, and for the listeners who are listening from across the globe on www.radioislam.co.za, we welcome you to our Rihla feature. This is our Rihla feature, and it is called the Muslim School Competition. We've got four schools participating today. Pochenson Islamic School, Muhammad Ibrahim Islamic School, and Al Falah College, and Ihsan Girls. These are the four schools participating in today's competition, and this is the third leg of the journey. The first one was the spelling bee competition. The second one was the speech competition. And the third one is the debate. So are we ready to start, Yusuf?
Yes, we are ready. Now, just a reminder for the debate, there's only three teams. The reason is Muhammad Ibrahim Islamic School. I think Maulana Suhaib mentioned earlier on, they only have till grade 8 or grade 7 or grade 6. Grade 6, mashallah. May Allah Ta'ala take them from strength to strength. And perhaps in the years to come, we can see them having till grade 12. So we have two with us. We have the two schools with us, Al Falah, who is for it. They say that South African university education in South Africa should be free. And we have Pochefstan Islamic School, who is against it. They feel that it should not be free. A quick reminder to the audience and to the listeners how it's actually going to work. We're going to go with one team, right? Each team, they're going to have 3 minutes. So example, we go with Al Falah. Member one, you're going to have 3 minutes for your body, for your introduction. Member two, you're going to have 3 minutes for your body. And member three, you're going to have your 3 minutes for your conclusion. So combined, it's going to be 9 minutes. After that, you're going to be asked 3 questions. One question from the presenter's table, one question from the opposition's table, and one question from the judges' table. After each question, you're going to get 1 minute. So example, I'll ask you a question. You're going to get 1 minute to think of an answer. Then you give your answer. Then maybe the judge will ask a question. You're going to have 1 minute to think of an answer. So remember, you don't have to answer off the cuff. You are going to have 60 seconds to think of an answer. So it's quite simple. It's quite simple. And I suppose if you know, like I said, just keep it cool. You have prepared. You have prepared. And I'm quite sure. I'm actually confident that both of you, so the schools, all six participants, are going to do just great. We're going to start with four. Yes, so let's start with Al Falah College, and they are for it. They say that South African university education should be free. The contestants are Amarata Muhammad, Zarafshan Baba, and Alia Malik Murtuja. So from the three of you all, which one will be giving us the introduction? Zarafshan Baba will give us the introduction. Sarafshan, the timekeeper is here with us. Your 3 minutes start when you utter your first word.
Assalamu alaikum to the respected adjudicators, members of the opposition, and the audience with us today. Today's topic of contention is whether tertiary education should be free in South Africa. We, the motion, define this as giving learners at the tertiary level access to free education, and such a motion can be achieved through government funding. The funding of tertiary education would, by necessity, involve a reconstructive approach in prioritizing government funding. Contrary to commentators, analysts, and the Department of Higher Education, such a motion is possible and maintainable. Now, it must be noted that South Africa is a diverse country, and we come from a history of oppression. In fact, this apartheid regime laid the foundation for the injustices we face today. In the era prior to 94, universities and technicons functioned under the Extension of Universities Act of 1959. This act segregated studies, ignored the multilingual society, and limited our opportunities based on our color. So as you can see, these injustices encroached upon our value of education. So thus, when the Mandela cabinet had taken over in 1994, it was a priority to set the rights of education in the highest book of our land, and that is the Constitution. Section 29 states the right to our education, and it is even referenced and acknowledged in the Universal Bill of Rights. I'm sorry, Universal Declaration of Human Rights, that is. Hence, the notion of free education is consistent in our constitutional ideal and human rights, and to oppose such an ideal is going against it's like an anathema, rather, to justice and civil liberty. Furthermore, I think that we can all agree that in light of the recent events that occurred in October of last year with the Freedom of Sport campaign, it is a consistent necessity, and rather continuous necessity, in our society, that is, education without a price tag. Furthermore, as Muslims, we can agree that knowledge is what distinguishes man from the rest of our Lord's creation. So to conclude, the introduction of a free tertiary education in South Africa aligns itself with secular, humanistic, and Islamic beliefs. It is a form of correcting the injustices of South Africa's past to attain quality education that can enable the movement of our future alumni. We should not be reluctant in developing a society that honors the intellectuals and the highly educated, for that is the key to the growth of our social and economical society. So to conclude once more, it is pivotal that we strive in fulfilling this ideal. We, the affirmative team, believe in it. I will hand over to Alia Malik, who will continue deliberating on this topic. Thank you very much.
MashaAllah, that was Roshan Baba giving us the introduction. And like she said, let's move on to Alia. Alia, you may carry on with the body.
On October 12, 2015, South Africa's born free fought for their right to education as their forefathers did in June of 1976. The youth rejected the financial tyranny that universities had subjected them to for years. Although theirs was only a small victory, it fueled a movement that will undoubtedly transform South African tertiary institutions. According to the Daily Maverick, only 5% of students can comfortably pay university's tuition. As a result, students are indebted to universities for over 711 million rand. Also, too many South Africans are victims of the poverty trap set by the social injustices of the past. This frustration leads people to resort to crime and violence as a means of escape. If all our people were afforded the opportunity to better themselves, crime rates would decline and society would gain countless productive and innovative thinkers. Let us give them an education. In addition, an educated population is vital in the 21st century. Unskilled labor is redundant because of mechanization. Thus, it has become increasingly important for people to develop their knowledge and skills in order to live a stable life. This begs the question, can they have a stable life without a tertiary education? Can they have a tertiary education if we have not made it available? The focus of education should be on students. By giving students free education, it encourages and motivates them to learn, and then to become contributing members to society. We believe that Islam offers a good model and that it gives everyone a chance at education. Development is more than economic growth. Islam, being the holistic way of life that it is, recognized this in a time when the rest of the world was in a literal dark age. The necessity for education has always been emphasized in our religion since the very first word revealed, Iqra. Seeking knowledge is a sacred duty made incumbent on each and every Muslim, and it must be done with equity and justice, as everything in Islam is and should be. Hence, there can be no doubt that a free education is the only instrument in our country's development. Now, overburdened taxpayers very well might ask, where will all this funding come from? Contrary to prevailing opinion, researchers at the South African Institute of Race Relations have confirmed that we can afford to send every citizen to university free of charge. Marginal alterations to the national budget and redistribution of government spending could allow for this change. As conscientious citizens of this country, it is our duty to decide if the cost of freer higher education outweighs that of an impoverished, ill-equipped, and debt-ridden youth. No doubt it is our duty as members of the democracy to ensure that the rights of our youth are fulfilled and that we provide them with the tools to succeed. As the father of our nation once said, education is the most powerful weapon that you can use to change the world. Thank you.
MashaAllah, that was Alia Malik giving us the body, focusing on university education. Should it be free for South Africans? Her team, representing Al Falah College, they agreed. To conclude, give us the conclusion, we have Amarata Muhammad. Amara, you may proceed.
2016 marks the 22nd year of a democratic South Africa, but our country is still one of the most unequal societies in the world. And this divide still exists because people who were disadvantaged in the past are systematically subjected to a cycle that prohibits them from improving their situation. And this divide can only be bridged by true equality and academic opportunity. As Youth Month nears its end, we as South Africans must reflect on the past in order to better the present. We must recognize that South Africa is in a fragile state. Our country is doomed if we do not take action against the prevailing problems of poverty, unemployment, inequality, and crime. And the only way to solve these problems is through education. Critics argue that the ideal is not financially feasible in the South African context. However, it is important to note that developing countries with similar economies, such as Brazil and Sri Lanka, have successfully implemented and maintained state-owned universities that offer quality education free of charge. And this shows that South Africa is more than capable of achieving the same goal. Moreover, as Muslims in a secular country who pay our zakat and our taxes, who abide by both the Sharia and the Constitution in all our endeavors, we have not yet forsaken our Islamic ideals in any respect. We cannot, my brothers and sisters, abandon our Islamic ethos now for a mere capitalistic agenda. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam strived to desegregate the Arabian elite and impoverished, teaching us that our wealth should not separate us. And if the Muslim community were to oppose this motion, we would directly oppose the actions of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ladies and gentlemen, this house has shown that free tertiary education is socially and economically viable, that the notion is financially feasible, and most importantly, that it promotes the ideals of equality and education which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged. It is with this in mind that I urge you to advocate for free tertiary education in South Africa. If we do not act now, we will fail our country. And worse, we will have discarded our duties as Muslims. I leave you with the words of Fasiha Hassan, who is involved in the Fees Must Fall movement. A revolution is going to be inconvenient, she said. But remember that we're doing it for the betterment of not just us, but for future generations. Because if there's one thing we can give them, it's a free education to change their lives. Thank you.
And mashallah, jazakallah, that was the Al Falah team. Really interesting their points, and they were for it, the meaning that they believe university education should be free for South African citizens. Right, we move on now. It's time to pose three questions to them. Now remember, Al Falah, one question is coming from the presenter's desk, one is coming from the judge's desk, and one is coming from the opposition party's desk. You may answer one. Basically, let's put it this way, a contestant cannot answer more than one. So example, if Alia answers the next question, then she's out. Meaning that two questions after that, she can't answer. She can't answer that. When the question is posed to you, you're gonna get 60 seconds to discuss it amongst yourselves, how to answer it and what points to put, right? So let's start first. Your first question is coming from the opposition team. That is for Chepston Islamic School. For Chepston, do you have your question ready? All right, remember, once the question is asked, you've got 60 seconds. For Chepston, you may go ahead with the question.
What political agenda does this whole Fees Must Fall have?
All right, that is the question that was asked. You have 60 seconds to give an answer. Quran Habib, you're very busy there with your fancy gadgets. You're just, you know, on the topic of gadgets, and, you know, while the contestants can come up with their answer, we were speaking about how easy technology has made life. Just this morning, when you were coming here to Al Falah.
Now, just before you get to Al Falah, people might be thinking, we rude, but we are busy tweeting what's happening here. And we relate for those people who are not following the program on air, those who are following us via social media, that's WhatsApp and Twitter and our Instagram account. You can also follow the events there on those platforms, inshallah. So whilst we're presenting, we do multiple other functions also, and that's the benefit of technology. And alhamdulillah, we're able to do that quite comprehensively. I think, how's the 60 seconds? We'll speak after the 5 seconds.
All right.
Okay.
The 5 seconds
are over.
Al Falah, you need to answer the first question. Your 1 minute is up.
Members of the opposition and adjudicators, our political agenda is to empower our youth and to educate them and to bring our country forward. Did you know that 2 out of 3 South Africans aged 18 to 28 are unemployed? And the overall unemployment rate is 25%, while that rate is 25% among young people, it's a daunting 60%. 60% of our working youth cannot seek jobs, and that is mainly because they are uneducated and unskilled. So, members of the opposition, our political agenda is to drive our country forth and to bring empowerment to our youth, to give them a reason to get up in the morning, to find a way to empower them so that they may find a job to sustain themselves, so that our country can get out of this rut of poverty and crime and inequality. That is our political agenda. All we want is for young people to be afforded the opportunities that they deserve, the ones that the Constitution promised to them. Thank you.
Jazakallah, that was the first question answered, right? The second question will come from the judges' desk. We have, just to remind our judges for this morning, Salim Osman and Ahmed Chotia. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them for their services. The question.
Because the idea of a free education may, to some people, mean that, well, everyone then gets an opportunity to get to university. Well, that's what it might mean to many, many people.
Right.
But the reality out there is that, from a physical point of view, there's only a certain number of seats available.
Okay.
There's X number of universities, there's so many places available, and beyond that, there isn't. So how do you, being pro-free education,
right,
deal with this? What's your comment on that?
All right, that was the second question. They left 60 seconds. Marana, while they discuss their answer, you're speaking of technology and how easy it makes life. I mean, even, you know, you don't have to look at apps, look at features. There's anything and everything you can do with your phone nowadays. Absolutely anything, no matter which profession you're in. And, you know, what I really find offensive is, in today's time, many people say, yeah, those people are busy with their phone, they're always doing this, they're always playing with their phones. You know, and I tell them, don't accuse a person of playing with his or her phone. Ask, what are they doing? I know.
On that note, before you go on, I've seen this. In the past, I used to just sit in a paper's list. Newspaper, magazine. It's just been replaced in a digital form.
Exactly.
So I don't understand the argument, today's generation. But if you look at them, and I've been, let's see. Are you ready? Ready to debate?
All right, we'll carry on with the discussion, Maulana Habib. Al-Farah is ready to give the answer to the second question.
In addressing your question, my respected adjudicators, your question about getting into the university, being able to attend. Currently, we have fees attached to going to university, do we not? What the fees must fall movement and what we're debating today is taking away from the equation the whole money issue, the money factor, because physically, when you go to university, the same amount of fees will be there whether fees are or not. It does not mean that because fees are gone, universities will automatically expand. There is a room of 30 students. But what this will give is the opportunity to learners who cannot afford to get it, but have better grades than perhaps the other students in that particular class. Allowing these learners to go to university without fees and giving them the opportunity to come back into society and broken away from this poverty trap that they may be caught in if they did have fees attached to their particular study. So to answer your question, that is... Yes.
Wow.
All right, Jazakallah. That was the second question, second answer given by Al-Falah. Right, the third question, it will come from this presenter's desk. You know, sometimes you see this, South Africa has an unemployment rate as well, right? There's many youngsters that have no jobs. The thing is, it's not that there's no jobs, it's just that they don't want to work, they're lazy. Now, I could say that this is the same thing. We're fighting and we're going on about free education for all the young.
I could say that this is the same thing. We're fighting and we're going on about free education for all the youngsters. Maybe most of them don't want to study. I mean, if they're lazy to work, maybe they'll be lazy to study. If you really want...
It's not about opportunities are not available. It's basically that willpower inside the person that's not there.
Yeah, I like when people get technical. Yeah, so, well, I used to, as I was telling you, previously they start with books, novels, newspapers, etc. The very same thing has now been transformed into the digital form. Like, socializing has also differed from time to time. In our parents' age group, physical presence, and you talk to the person face to face.
Cup of tea and all that.
And then after that, our same parents, when they came into the telephone age and the wire story, and the parents before them, or the generation before them, say,
they sit on a phone.
They always sit on a phone, you know, that they always phoning people.
Right.
Now we have just upgraded.
To chat. Wow.
So technology is taking us further and further. It's just that it should not consume us. It should not run our life. For example, load shedding has become a common phenomenon, but now they've replaced the things like this, the power bank.
Time is up. 60 seconds is up. It's time for Al-Falah to answer the third and final question.
So, as the proposition, we believe that regardless of a person's willingness to learn, they must be offered the opportunity. As the Greek philosopher Plato has said, education is based on willingness. For every one person that is not willing to learn, there are 100 people who are in poverty that are willing to take his place. For example, in a hospital, just because someone's not injured does not mean they don't require an ER room. Education is something that will always take people better somebody's life, and the willingness will have to come from that person. At the end of the day, free tertiary education in itself is an encouragement, it's an incentive. Thank you.
Jazakallah, that was Al-Falah College, was their third answer. And remember, once again, they were for it, saying that university education in South Africa should be free. It's now for Chepstone Islamic School's turn, and they're against it. And, you know, this is the beauty of debate. It tortures your mind. You know, you focus on one team, and they push you to one side and you're like, yeah, I agree, it's just football point. And then you come to the next team and they just bring you to their side and, you know, you just feel sorry for your mind, you feel sorry for your thoughts.
MashaAllah. So, we are going to give the judges, are the judges ready, inshaAllah, for the second team? Alright, let's move on to the second team, Brother Yusuf.
Yes, the second team is Pochefstan Islamic School, three contestants, Fatima Musa, Maryam Nakura, and Farira Khan. Is that correct? Who's going with the introduction?
Maryam.
Maryam Nakura. Body will be Fatima. And conclusion, Farira. Okay, Maryam, you've got 3 minutes for your introduction. Your topic, like I say, you are against it. You believe that university education in South Africa should not be free. Tell us why.
Should university education be free for South Africans? Free Mahala classes, not in the real world. I remember being told that the last time something really free was given was during the time of the Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Manna and Salwa fell from the sky for his people, and his people who were nourished turned against him. Nothing comes for free. Not the air you breathe, it costs you your health. Not the water you drink, it's polluted. So free tertiary education for South Africans is a pipe dream. Someone along the line bears the cost, the brunt, and the burden of a free education. Universities are knowledge factories, not knowledge supermarkets. Does anyone know of a factory running classes? Can a house, business, or institution operate when financial resources are floundering? In the United Kingdom, a referendum took place and the same students who had free education 10 years ago voted out the United Kingdom from the European Union. In this context, we can conclude that if South Africans have free education, what would happen in the future? Did you know that the protests that are currently happening involve ANC members? From this, we can conclude that these protests were constructed by the ANC for the ANC. The students hold 132,000 seats, which means 132,000 votes. Our government is bowing towards these students. Resorting to violence solves nothing. It's simply infantile behavior. According to UNESCO, South Africa is the worst place to bring up your child. Our land is not worth the paper it's printed on. Our country is a crime and AIDS capital of the world. We feature third last in math and science and sciences internationally. So with all this going on in South Africa, aren't we already facing crises? Health crisis, political crisis, financial crisis, water crisis, crime crisis. And now an educational crisis? Really, South Africa should be renamed South Africa Crisis. I will now hand over to my colleague Fatima, who will do the voice.
MashaAllah, that was Maryam Nakura giving us the introduction. And like she said, we move over to Fatima Musa to give us the body. Your 3 minutes starts now.
First off, education is an economic good to be paid for, just like food, water, cars, phones, and everything else. Using a word like a right is nonsensical in this context. It's really quite simple. You know got money, you know get it. South Africa already offers free RDP housing, free basic education, free health care, and free social grants to its population, where only 3.3 million taxpayers pay 99% of all income taxes. With all the freebies already being dished out by the government, we are still in a state of degenerative disrepair. The government has increased funding towards university education from 9 billion rand in 2005 to 25 billion rand as at 2016. Their purse is definitely straining. Consider the cost of running a university. Lecturers, infrastructure, maintenance, study materials, and research. Dropping fees leads to lesser revenue. There will be no hike in salaries of the staff. Our universities would lose their best academics, who will be lured by better pay abroad. Our country will experience a brain drain. Abolishing fees will stunt research, which is vital in progress and innovation for every field. Most South African universities have lost their Ivy League international status. To date, only one South African university, the Cape Town University, still enjoys a ranking. In this case, local is not lacquer. A free education will turn us into little tadpoles, seemingly happy in a murky pond. Basic education is a right, but tertiary education is a privilege. If you interpret tertiary education as a right, why not go further and make gold Rolexes, Ferraris, and actuarial sciences degrees a right for everyone? Certainly, it is imperative that a free education should be given for those identified as deserving, but for the toy-toying masses who burn, destroy, and desecrate monuments of learning, they should be receiving the short end of the stick. The stock sheet of protesters is of the laggards, the lame and the lazy, the failures, the bursary recipients, and those doing the wrong courses. If university fees is abolished, the cost of education has to still be borne, ultimately by the taxpaying individual, almost always against his will. Free tertiary education is a misnomer. There is no such thing as a free tertiary education. The notion that a government can provide goods and services at nobody's expense is a far-fetched idea.
MashaAllah, Fatima Musa, Barira Khan, conclude for us.
In conclusion, students seek to harm the very institutions that provide them with the opportunity of turning their lives around. They show disregard for order and authority. The once revered educational institutions are now being destroyed. This campaign is therefore nothing more than a regression in thought and ideology. There is a prevailing culture of entitlement amongst the youth of today. They expect everything to be provided, and yet they have not earned it. They are not the ones who fought for freedom or experienced the many injustices of the past in our country. Do you know what the term civil disobedience means? This is when the blacks wouldn't comply with the white people's rules. This is exactly what's happening today. Giving into these demands will only lead to future, more unrealistic expectations. If we allow these youngsters to get what they want, this carte blanche freedom will extend to the workplace. And would you want that? Should jobs be provided for free? A car and fancy house, perhaps? The list is unending. They will never be satisfied. It is impossible to satiate people who do not understand what responsibility and accountability really means. If one has not worked hard for something, really earned it, then one will never learn to appreciate it. So yes, I agree, fees must fall for merit and poverty-stricken discounted people on academic performance only, and that is why bursaries are provided. So, bursaries are there as an accolade to produce good results and character in school. They will be rewarded with admission. So free rides are not an option. They will drop quality in universities, and that is the last thing that we need, an ailing of status in this country. So there should be a proper balance, because there is a code. Without that balance, the world will tumble into chaos, and that is what's happening with these toy masses. So I will conclude by saying that if you want a banana republic, then fees should fall for all.
MashaAllah, JazakAllah. That was for Chevston Islamic School. You know, in the end, when she said Banana Republic, everybody looked up. I said, see, the fast got everyone. Yeah?
Yes. Right. MashaAllah, we also remind both teams to kindly refrain from making any form of gesture that shows, like, yeah, you know. Just earlier, we had bullying and cyberbullying is also one form of bullying. Please, yes, you can debate each other, but no funny, nasty looks or any funny gestures. As I'm looking down, you should also do the same, because it's not good for us to do so. Anyway, are the teams ready? Al Falah College, are you ready to pose your question?
I'd like to disrupt this house belief that education is free, tertiary education is an opportunity, not a commodity. And we spoke a lot about the socio-economic effects that free tertiary education would have in South Africa. So I ask you, your opposition, how would you move to solve South Africa's socio-economic problems of crime, unemployment, poverty and crippling debt, if not through equitable access to academic opportunities?
Okay, will be given Malawi.
He will be given 60 seconds to come up with an answer for that. Well, we were speaking of technology now.
Right.
You know?
So I was telling you, I said now in load shedding, this has become a reality in South Africa. We've got things like this, the power bank.
Hmm.
You're always on the move.
A power bank, You know, in this country, they rob it.
The bank, yeah.
They bomb it. But, you know, interesting, Malana Sahib was telling me now, speaking about the benefits of technology, by this afternoon, if you missed out on this program, you can download a podcast from the website.
Wow, see, just speaking about technology, Malana Yusuf, not sure how it will start. Maybe after this one, we can take it. Inshallah. How many seconds? How many of us? 12 seconds. 12 seconds is not enough. 12 seconds to go before the...
Before Port Chefston Islamic School,
inshallah. Okay, Port Chefston, you have to come up with an answer. Who's going to answer? Okay, go ahead.
Respected opponent, as you say that you ask us how would we solve the problem of the socioeconomic. So what you say is the government is providing bursaries, student fees, scholarships, and other ways of getting to university is by saving from a young age and working part-time jobs. The bursary is always there for poor people if they apply and if they reach the benchmark of what the bursary entails. If the rich are not going to pay fees, they will just get richer and the poor will remain poor. But if we all pay fees, then we will bring everyone to the same level. And the government budget is already tight. So they can't keep forcing the taxpayers to pay for the students that are not even their own children. Thank you.
MashaAllah, that was the answer given, the first answer given to the first question. Now, before we go for the next two questions, inshallah, we're going to take a break and we'll be back shortly.
Inshallah.
Yes, welcome back. It's just 2 minutes past 12 on Radio Islam International. We're busy with the debate. Now, just to put you into perspective what has happened thus far, Al Falah has given their side of the story. The topics of African university education, should it be free or not? Al Falah believes, yes, it should be free. They've given their side, they've answered their questions. For Chepston then came, they've given their side as well, stating that they feel it should not be free. One out of the three questions were asked thus far. The second and third questions will come from the judge's desk and the presenter's desk. So let's move over to the judge's desk. It's time for the judges and our judges for this morning or afternoon, Brothers Salim Osman and Ahmed Chotia. It's time for the question to come from the judges.
Assalamu alaikum. Yeah, free education does cost. I mean, obviously, the price has to be paid by somebody. But there have been models around the world where free education has been provided. The ones that come to mind, for example, Libya. I talk about the problems that they had in education was free, university education was free. They managed it. And there are a few others as well. In the UK, for example, of course, you need certain requirements, education, as a UK citizen, is my understanding. The point is this here, it has been done elsewhere. Is it not perhaps a matter of priority? If you have the right priorities, well, education can then be free. Your comments on that?
All right, well, they think of the answer, Maulana Habib.
Yes, I was telling Maulana Yusuf that I overslept. I was supposed to fly down on Friday, that was yesterday.
Gee.
And the benefit of technology, my colleague Maulana Sahib Nasaria, he did online check-in already the day before. And the benefit of that, Maulana Yusuf, was that you were able to go straight to the security counter, the check-in, instead of waiting in the queue for the printout of the boarding pass, because the rule is you have to be there 45 minutes before departure, and we were only 20 minutes before departure, 25, 30 minutes. And so if we had to stand in the queue, we would not get a boarding pass. But because Maulana Sahib already did online check-in, we had our boarding passes, so this matter of going through security.
Yes, it is very interesting. But some people find it very difficult to adapt to technology. Online banking, online shopping, like you said, online checking in. Some people are they just don't trust it. They don't trust it at all.
And some do adapt. You remember in Calvin, we had that brother, 60s, and he was able to tweet.
Yes, time is up. 60 seconds is up. The second question being posed, it's time for you, Port Shepston, to answer the question.
Respected adjudicators, to answer that question, yes, free education has been offered in many other countries, but those countries are first world countries and their per capita GDP is very high as compared to South Africa's. Our economy is already straining. As we have already mentioned, our rent is very low. We should rather focus on comparing ourselves with a third world country in moving forward as we are still developing. South Africa already offers a free basic education, and if we offer a free university education, then that will just drop the quality even further. In the UK, there were some schools that offered free education to universities, but that also stopped because they realized that the students they have the lack of motivation, and they no more want to push themselves forward in order to do the best. The results were actually decreasing, and they stopped doing that. And now now everyone should pay for university fees.
That was the answer coming from Port Shepston Islamic School. Time for the third question. The third question will come from the presenter's desk. Maulana Habib Bobat, you up.
Okay, the question is that South Africa is still a growing country. We are only 20 years after apartheid, and many people were restricted in those days. They were limited for opportunities, etc. Now, if you say that you cannot have education for free, what about those people who say we want to study? And the barrier was apartheid, number one. Number two, we are limited because we don't have funds. And so the only option now is to loot or to resort to crime. So wouldn't the doors of education help them if you open it for free?
Gee, that is the third question. They have 60 seconds to ask. And after this, of course, once again, the judges are going to have headaches. Anyways, Maulana.
So I was telling about Yusuf, you know, the ladies, the elderly ladies adapt more. Beg your pardon? The mic.
30. Gee, there's still a 30, just an error from my side, Gee. There's still a 30 to come after this. Apologies for that.
Gee, so as I was saying, Maulana Yusuf, that the ladies are able to adapt more quicker than men. I often see the uncle pick up the phone. Just check what is. And then the auntie was checking, like, yeah, you see, you know what happened. And many times you find the grandmother is on WhatsApp, and not the grandfather. So the ladies, for some reason, adapt much quicker. I don't know why.
It's very interesting, you know, the ladies. But it makes also sense because, I mean, if you look at... All right, time up. 60 seconds are up. It's time for Chepstone and Farira Khan.
Respected adjudicators, to answer that question, I'd like to say that the university is not exactly a finishing school. It's more like a base platform for more opportunities in the wider world. Your basic education ends by matric, and that's where you can get a job from to provide for the basic needs of your life. Now, if you speak about apartheid, that was 20 years ago. And if you speak about racial discrimination, the riots that we had in 1976 where Hector Peterson was killed, that happened due to the torture masses, and that's exactly what's repeating in this day. We do not want that bloodshed in return for maybe just a few more basic necessities of life. Now, what I would like to say is that if it is that essential, then they should apply for bursaries, and other, and if it's hard to fund, they can also apply for student fees, scholarships, and that. And if they do not, they should reach that benchmark. There's a benchmark. If they do not get accepted, they do not reach that benchmark, then they do not deserve it.
Jazakallah khairan. Well, Yusuf, we now move on to the second part of the competition. And inshallah, both teams can now, inshallah, take their seats while you wait for the third team to come on board.
Right.
And then we took two teams, we gave them this topic of university to go for and against, and then we took a third team, and we gave them a separate topic, and obviously we gave them for or against. So this third team, which is Ihsan Girls, I'm just trying to get their topic right now. Well, I know it, but I'm just trying to get the exact wording. A widow or divorcee remarrying immediately after her iddat expires. This is basically a question. A widow or divorcee, should she marry immediately after her iddat expires? Now, Ihsan Girls, they're going to go for it. They believe that, yes, a lady who is widowed or divorced should try to marry. They're going to go against it. They're going to go against it. So they're basically saying that maybe she should, a widow or divorcee, after she... After, of course, her husband passing away or going through a divorce, she should wait a while and not go immediately into marriage after that iddat.
Okay, are we ready to start? MashaAllah. You've got 3 minutes for the introduction, 3 minutes for the body, and 3 minutes for the conclusion. Thereafter, three questions will be posed, one from the judges' panel, one from our side, and one other will be posed from a different source, inshallah.
Now,
so,
just before you start, you might be wondering now, but you don't have an opposition
yes.
team and all that. But just remember, the judges are looking at your points, right? How you're going to speak, how you're putting forward, etc. That's what they're looking for. And just a reminder, then once again, the contestants, who is representing Ihsan Girls? It's Bibi Amina Aziz, Fatima Hanif, and Umme Kulsum Kamboni. Is that correct? All right, you may go ahead with your introduction. Remember, each one of you has 3 minutes, 180 seconds.
Let's start.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. What is iddat? Iddat is a period of time a woman has to wait after the death or divorce of her husband. She is not allowed to marry during this time. According to Sharia, a woman is allowed to marry immediately after her iddat period has expired. But is she emotionally ready to? Independent studies have shown that a woman is emotionally attached to her husband, and when he is taken away from her, the pain felt is greater than that of losing a parent. It is understood that there are 4 stages in the healing process. First, denial. A woman refuses to admit her losses. At this point in time, she convinces herself into believing that life is as it is, nothing has happened and nothing is wrong. The second stage, anger. This is when she realizes the gravity of the situation and reflects anger towards everyone and everything. The third stage, depression. This is when she becomes depressed and finds life meaningless. The fourth stage, acceptance. This is when she now has come to terms with her losses and accepts it, for she knows everything comes from Allah. These stages may seem short, but the healing process takes a great deal of time. This is because the love she feels for her husband has been bestowed upon her by Allah. This is true love and can never be forgotten immediately. He marrying immediately after her idat expires implies that she will now neglect her emotional needs and adapt to a new life all at once. Many women of today are not emotionally strong enough to deal with such changes at such a vulnerable time. Because of this, she will not be able to offer her new relationship all of the attention it deserves, causing yet another potential divorce.
MashaAllah, that was the introduction given to us by Ihsan Girls. We move over to the conclusion. Body.
A situation may also arise where a female is content with not remarrying too soon after her iddat has ended, because she might have been psychologically wounded from her past experience. In this case, she would be given the opportunity to find herself and strengthen her beliefs. A rushed second marriage will be detrimental to her mental and psychological state. A woman is regarded as the leader of a household and thus is entitled to ensure the well-being of her family. This is an honorable responsibility bestowed upon woman. However, it is not easy. A woman who has just completed her iddat may not have been given so much of responsibility and may regard herself as now free and responsible for her and her children only. Depending on her relationship with her previous husband, that is, if she had a good relationship with him, she would be reluctant to remarry so soon and may consider getting married after a longer period of time. If she had a poor relationship, then because of the bad experience, she may never want to get married. Independent women do not need a man, for she can support herself and her children. If she gets married, then she will have to spend time with her husband and her children. Whereas if she doesn't get married, she will devote time to herself and her children, giving them a proper upbringing. Single mothers should not be underestimated. What about women with children? Those children getting rushed into a mother's second marriage, they will not be right. They will find it difficult to adjust to their new family and new parents. They will feel betrayed. And it will take a long toll on them. If a man passes away mysteriously, people will blame the mother. They will say that she had something to do. And what if those children who see their mother walk and realize her worth and fear Allah and don't go astray? No matter what the situation is, the woman is going through this alone. There's no one to stand with her.
MashaAllah, that's Ihsan Girls. You're listening to Ihsan Girls. They've given us the introduction and the body. We now move on to the conclusion.
In conclusion, it is un-Islamic for a woman to be forced to get married. Hence, she has a choice. If she chooses to get married immediately after her iddat expires, then it is up to her. But it is not prescribed for her to marry so soon after the end of her iddat period. It is related on the authority of Abu Huraira that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I would be the first to open the gate of paradise. At that time, I would see a woman preceding me. When I would ask about her identity, she would reply, 'I am the one who refrained from remarriage after my husband's death in view of my orphan son.' Therefore, it is enviable that a woman makes great sacrifice for the upbringing of her children while observing religious duties and protecting her modesty. She sacrificed her youth for her child. She did not remarry on account of her comfortable life, which she would get if she remarried. So, such a woman would precede even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in entering Jannah. However, once the woman's child has grown and married, then this widow or divorcee should remarry, for there are many temptations for a woman outside the fold of marriage." Jazakallah.
MashaAllah, Ihsan Girls. There was Ihsan Girls, Bibi Fatima, Bibi Amina Aziz, Fatima Hanif, and Umay Kulsum Kambone giving us their input regarding the question is that should a lady that's divorced or, you know, widowed, should she marry immediately after Eid, or should she wait a while? Now, they against it. They're basically saying that she should wait a while. Now, it's time for their questions. There's no opposing team, and you might think that we're going to get two questions. No, nothing like that. You're still going to get three questions, Ihsan Girls. The difference is the two questions are going to come from the presenter's desk. So one will still come from the judge's desk, and two will come from the presenter's desk. So we're going to go presenter, judge, presenter. All right, so your first presenter's question, and remember you'll have 60 seconds to come up with an answer. You know, they say that sometimes the companionship of a loved one, right, can heal the wounds of, you know, whatever difficulties you went through in the past. Basically, what I'm saying is a lady getting married, maybe that's the only way that the wounds can be healed, by finding love or true love, whatever she was looking for. I'm thinking, you know, in the case of maybe a lady has went through a divorce, a tough marriage, a new marriage, a new love will wipe out whatever happened before. If she stays here single, she might keep on going through difficulties and torturing herself. How do you respond to that? You have 60 seconds. Jee, Maulana Habib.
Yeah.
We were discussing technology previously. I had a point to mention and I totally forgot.
I was speaking about a body pass.
I was going to mention that point of that one Radio Islam listener we met in Kelvin.
Right.
You know, and
yes.
We always interacted him on Twitter. And I think you told me.
Right.
You thought he was in his 20s.
Yeah. And he happened to be an elderly person. Mm. And so, some people do adapt to technology in their senior ages and some find it very difficult. Are we ready? Okay, let's go.
Okay. In the case of a woman watching companionship, immediately after her Eidas has expired, what about her children? Would her children be able to adapt to such changes? Their father had just passed away, or he was divorced, as in they were separated. Would her children be happy with her getting with them having a new father figure? Would her children be is the man a good father figure to replace the original father? And if she wants companionship, then she should go for it. But she should make sure that she is ready. Because if she's not ready, she's holding baggage from her previous marriage. If she had a bad divorce, she's going to hold all of that emotion in her. If she does not go for counseling, if she does not focus herself more on Islam and place her law, if she does not go, if she does not read more Quran and Zikr, she's not going to have that contentment in her heart. Thank you.
Okay, Jazakumullah khair. I think I need to get them as guests on my program because I do the marriage program.
Talking
about baggages and all that, you know, from one marriage to the other marriage and all what.
I was just going to tell you, you know, take it easy on the question because, since you're doing this program every week, not a very difficult question. But for question two, let us move over to the judges. Second question will come from the desk of the judges.
The Iddat period is an injunction from Allah Ta'ala. Now, Allah Ta'ala is all knowing, and in that, we also as Muslims are compelled to believe, or should believe, that Allah Ta'ala knows best. Mm. And Allah Ta'ala, for whatever reason, has decided the Iddat period should be X amount of time. Now, if that is the case, surely Allah Ta'ala knows that is sufficient, or that is reasonably sufficient. And that will be sufficient then for a person then to make up their mind as to what they might want to do after that. There may be circumstances as you put it, but if it's decreed like that, the question is, there is permissibility definitely, otherwise how long is long? So your comment on that.
Alright, well, they take the time to discuss that, Mulana Habib.
Yes, interesting indeed. And Mulana Yusuf, I learned the four phases that a woman goes through: denial, anger, depression, and what's the last one?
Exception. Acceptance.
Yeah, acceptance. Yeah. Those are the four stages a woman goes through in her divorce phase and in her divorce, or in a case where a woman is bereaved. So it's quite interesting, and we are waiting for them to come up with an answer to the question posed by Mr. Salim Osman.
Yes, as we wait for the answer as well, I must say this debate, overall, whether it's debate or speech or spelling bee, whatever it may, it gives the learners the ability to think, to kind of stretch their mind. And this is basically what we're looking for. This is what the leader should have. This is a very, very important quality, the ability to stretch your mind. We'll get to that later. Yes, time is up. It's time for Ehsan Girls to answer their second question.
The either period, meaning the certain amount of time that Allah has prescribed, would not necessarily be enough for the woman, because different people have different healing times. It may take one woman a certain amount of period to heal, and it may take another a longer period. So if you say the question posed was immediately after her iddah, so please tell me your question again.
It's okay. Jazakumullah khairan for that. We'll pass on. That's not a problem. The third question that we have for you today is that obviously the third participant will have to answer, even though you did not complete your answer in the second one. The thing is that sometimes the person gets used to being alone and independent. So is the mother being selfish, in a sense that she's got a young daughter or young son that is now deprived of the father, either through divorce or through the father being late? What does the mother do in a situation like this? On one side, she's enjoying the independence, she's enjoying the comfort. On the other side, it's her children. How does she come out of this catch-22 situation?
Alright, while they get that answer, what I was saying, the ability to stretch your mind, to think different scenarios, come up with different answers, this is a quality of a leader.
Yeah, that is the answer that a leader comes up quite innovatively. We are in the final session of the competition, which is the debating round, and we are waiting for Al Ihsan girls to come up with the final answer, and thereafter we will be wrapping up with the competition. In any case, it's 12:30. We are going to break for the para day, and we will continue from our side, and the para day will now be airing live, and inshallah we'll hand you over to the studios in Johannesburg.